worship team. I helped pick out that song list. I love those two songs at the beginning. Hallelujah. I'm going to stay down here today, tonight. Thanks, Scotty. You guys, if you're here tonight and you haven't got one of these, we give these out free now for guests. But if you want one and you haven't got one, you stop at the guest center and tell them, I said give you one, they'll give you one. But so we're in the process of changing a culture, changing a mindset. If you look around, we need that change, don't we? We do. We need just God to be priority as best we can, and watch what the kingdom does. And I'll have, if PK ends up wanting to interject anything, we'll get you a mic. Don't worry about that. Oh, ask and you shall receive. Your mic cometh. Just to give you a quick update, we've got started on a couple of our renovations already. So when you leave, I glance into the kitchen area. The conference room is the wall's been built. The drywall is up. Jack and Rick were working feverishly in there. And so that's happening, and we are raising money for those things. The bathrooms are going to be redone in the next couple weeks. That front foyer area, we're not trying to redo that other than to just dress it up a little bit until we put on a whole new entryway. But for right now, we're asking everybody for the next 6 Sundays, if they want. There's no forcing. I don't want you to feel I'm manipulating you in any way. $25, not your tithe, but in offering, which is, cost me and PK probably close to almost $25 to go to Wendy's, and two of you get a meal. It's like $9 or $10 a shot there. So, but just that money, that would be, if 80 people gave $25 in 6 weeks, that comes out to $12,000. And that will more than cover the restroom renovations and what we're doing right now. We've already got a jump start on what we're doing now. We've probably had, if I count what Jack has donated for what he's done, about $700 has come in. And, so we're everything's going to get covered. The Lord will take care of it. We believe in God, and he provides for the assignment. And so, I'm in here tonight, and I'm human just like you are, and people ask me, like, where's everybody at? There's the elephant in the room. I'm not supposed to say anything like that because nobody likes to hear that. I don't know where everybody's at. I really don't, but you're here. And God's here. And so what we have to do, and what the Lord tells me, is it doesn't matter, what we see. To our physical side it does, but to our spiritual side, we're going somewhere. And God's taking notes. Not that he's punishing people that aren't here. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying he sees your hungry heart. That's what I mean. So let me. I don't want you to think I'm not bashing anybody, because there are things. Sometimes people work. Sometimes they don't feel good. I get that. So that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, yeah, we would love to see this place filled. So envision it with me, and we'll believe that will happen. What the Lord gave me actually today was a scripture, and then I heard it again, and I'm like, okay. And so that's sometimes, this isn't very, very long. Anyway, what I was talking about with the $25, at the end of service, Scott will be there. If you want to help with that, or you have your tithe, you can put that in. You can text to give. You can go online and give. And the Lord told me to quit apologizing for, telling people to be faithful. So I'm not sorry, okay? But just be faithful, and God will bless you for it. So this is just, it's not a lot, but I love Kim's input on stuff. She comes sometimes at things like, I didn't see it that way, or she hears something and, I'm like, oh, that's really good. So the title, if I title this message, is Fix Your Eyes. In the scripture, I told him to throw up, is going to be up here. Now, that is the New King James, and that says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The NIV says it this way, and so that's why I've titled this message, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I like the idea of fixing, because I think we can relate to that. And so when it comes to whatever we're going after in God, I like the thing of fixing. So, you know, when I do funerals, the Lord gives me a word usually from that person, and I will relate each letter with to tie back to that person. And that's something he's done with me for years, and he's blessed that. And he, this isn't a funeral, by the way, he gave me this idea of fixing, because I don't do this anytime, but you know, but this is what he, for FIX, he's just like, they need to know, because we all want things, not just stuff, but like his presence, his healing, his peace, his, you know, and sometimes we actually have that stuff, but we don't know how to tap into it. It's with us, but how do we pull that out? So if we would fix our mind, fix our thoughts, fix ourself on how do we get that? So with that word fix, you know, the Bible says if we, and I could have gave them a lot of scripture. I said, we're just going to use this one. There's a lot on Sunday, but for this one, we have to, you know, the Bible says, if you seek him, you will what? Find him. So all of these start with an F. So what do you, where are you looking? Sometimes people look in the wrong spots, and they, you know, he's with you 24/7. He never leaves you or anything like that. But where are you looking? I mean, are you even trying? We live in a society where if it's not easy, we just won't do it. And I think we've all been guilty of that. Like, I don't want to have to walk over there. I don't want to have to use the remote. Oh, it's not, the remote's clear over there. I don't want to go do that. And we find ourselves being more lazy. I've tried to, you know, I snap myself back into reality sometimes, but I'm not doing that. I will go do that, or I don't want to mow the yard today, but I'm going to mow the yard today, you know, or so I'm fixing my mind. I'm focusing on, Lord, what do you want me to do today? So if I'm looking for Jesus, I don't have to look very far. And we make things so hard. And he's right there, but we'll look everywhere but where we're supposed to. We want fellowship with him. We want to follow him. Those are all F's, by the way. See that? So where are you fixing your mind on? What is it that your thoughts are fixed on? I'll give you an idea. Like, this says kingdom thoughts, but every day I have a notebook that I just write in this notebook. Right now I have 10 things. I've wrote the 10 things for the last several years. It hasn't always been 10. I would recommend less than 10. 10 is probably the max you'd want to do, because you know, you're not trying to write a journal, but it'll be things that it's kind of like what we're learning in our core meetings, of just things that I want to accomplish that day. And so I'll put those 10 things down. So I'll just write 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And so my first one, it'll be, I'm going to pray and declare. And I write that down, pray and declare. The second one, I'm going to work out 4 times a week. So I will put that, and work out 4 times a week. 3, I'm going to weigh less than 200 pounds. I'll get there. I'll write that down. See, I'm telling you things that, I don't know things about you, but you know a lot about me. I live in a glass house. That's what I live in. And 4, I'll put honor God and honor Kim. I'll write that down. Put 5, read or listen daily, meaning a podcast or a book. You know, I have, you know, there's been times in my life, and I'm back to doing that, where I'd like to read a book a month at least. So that would give me 12 books in a year. But you never want to stop learning. You want to, you know, and what are you reading? Well, they're all going to be related somehow to the Word or the Word. What am I needing? What do I need more knowledge on? We perish because of lack of what? Knowledge. So I'm going, the only way that's going to get in there is if you put it in there. It doesn't just happen. So I put that down there. Sixth one I put down, I'll say debt-free. House and car. Because that's all I owe on. House and car. So I'll put that down there. Now, each of those, you got to understand, there's got to be a strategy or a plan to get that handled. Number seven, I'll put book. You didn't know I was writing a book. I didn't either. No, I do. I have all kinds of notes. I have to compile it together and put it in there. From a bazillion stories from being in ministry, some of them would just make you laugh till your side splits. Some of them you're like, are you kidding me? So anyway, eight, I have success with other business outside of church. Other streams, income, you know, so I'll have that. Nine, let me think where I'm at. Oh, practice guitar three times a week. You didn't know I played the guitar. I do, but I have not been really good at practicing three times a week lately. I have practiced some, but not three times a week, so I will work on that. And number 10, I'm glad you're sitting down, multimillionaire. I put that on there. And then I have some things that I'm believing that I've sown for, and I'll write four or five of those things down there. I do that every day. And the reason I do that every day is because I want it before my eyes. Focus. Fix my eyes on the things that are important. And, you know, pray and declare. That's important because you got to understand that faith is voice activated for any of the things of God. If I'm going to use faith, I'm going to have to speak it. If you're going to use unbelief, you're going to speak it because that's voice activated too. And we only think about the other side. We just think, well, I didn't. I'm doing this next 4 or 5 weeks on, let me see what I titled it. Living whole. I want to live whole, healed, whole, everything. And it's a battle. I mean, because in this life you'll have tribulation. We get that. Jesus had tribulation. But man, I'm tired of stuff fighting my body. Are you? I'm just like, okay, I want to, then if there's going to be a fight, I want to win. Jesus already won. So how do I access, how do I fix what I'm doing to go after that? I want to find him. He's with me. I want to fellowship with him. I'm going to do that daily, and I'm going to follow him. So that means I have to listen. If I use the eye, here we go. Oh, boy. Invest. What do you mean? He's going to have you do things. He's going to have you. It might be prayer. It might be, you see that person? I want you to go over there and buy their lunch. You see that? I want you to just go over there and tell them God loves them.
But God, they look rough.
Usually when I say stuff like that, he doesn't say anything then. He doesn't even answer me. It's just like, you heard me. But, you know, he's going to make you invest, whether it's financially into something, because as long as the earth remains, there's seed time and harvest. That's how things have. Everything, we're all here from a seed. Everything is planted by a seed. You know, anything that made anything came from something that it had to be seeded to make. We'll have to get involved. And when we want to get involved, see, these start with I. We want to get involved. Well, how do we do that? We get involved in our church. We get involved in the lives of other people in small groups. We get involved in the things of God. We get involved in prayer and helping other people. We get involved in, hey, I haven't seen you for a while. Are you doing okay? But if you're waiting on me to call everybody, I mean, I try to call people if we don't see them or whatever, but if you don't see somebody, call them and just say, hey, we miss you. Are you okay? Sometimes you might not like their answer. But I hope if they have something that's, like, not good, you just feel that really well. and be the bigger person and just, you know, do what you need to do. We live in a society today where we just feel everybody wants to be included. Included. We have groups now that they feel they have to have a voice because they didn't feel included. But nobody excluded them. It's just a twisted version from the enemy. How do we get from here to here? The Bible says we go from glory to glory. Well, you're going to have to. If you put nothing in it, you'll get nothing out of it. For real. If you want to invest in the kingdom and say, you know what, this is my life. It's not what I do, it's who I am. Does that make sense? It's not just something I have to do like a job. I've had people tell me, huh, you get paid to do that. Can I just say, I would do it if this wasn't my job? Because it's not that, it's who I am or whose I am. It has to get to be where he is just your all. Seek first the kingdom. Go after him. Seek him. Focus on him. God, what do I do in this situation? God, I don't like this. Why? I mean, show me. Have I opened a door here? Can you show me something? And the Bible says the Holy Spirit, he says, according to the word, he knows everything. Is that cool? He knows everything. And God's not playing hide and seek. He's not saying, I'm not telling you. I mean, he'll tell you what to do. He won't give you more than you can take, but he'll tell you what to do. He might just say, I need you just to trust me. Or he might say, quit doing that. Or do this. Quit doing that, do this. I mean, we've done stuff that's just been like crazy. Some of it is not even rocket science. We've whined to the Lord almost. I think he could open a cheese shop because he could have gave it to us with the wine. We don't drink wine. Anyways, but I remember, I'll blame Kim for this one. She was whining. Just whining terrible to the Lord. I don't know if it was terrible. And about something, and he this is how he corrected her. And he did it in love, but he said, you don't even give a dollar. Save a dollar. Okay, sorry, save a dollar. You don't even, she was wanting this, and he goes, you don't even save a dollar. And she's like, you're right. So can I say, from stuff like that, we're like, she comes back and she tells me, and you and me, we're going to be partners. We're going to be pals. So since we know all that, we're like, okay, God, then we don't. We weren't. We were spending everything that came in and then complaining about it. We tracked it. She's really good at tracking. You know how much we spent this month in eating out? Please don't tell me. You know, so we have to make changes. But when you don't even save a dollar, we were like, okay, we wanted to go on vacation. And we were like, I don't know how we're going to do it because we don't even save a dollar. So we went to the Lord and he just said, I want you to save all your change. That was a pretty easy answer. Save all your change. And I'm thinking, so we found ourselves kind of getting excited about saving change. We would break money just to save change. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, that's going to be $1.50. And you got $1.50, but you got a five. Here, take this five. And then we would save all the change and we'd stick it in this jug. And we'd watch the jug just get full of coins and $1 bills and stuff. And the kids were little and they're like, that's a lot of money. But you know what? It turned out to be a lot of money because it paid for our cabin for the entire week. We ended up saving over $700 in change. It paid for our cabin. We were able to go on vacation because the Holy Spirit came in and said, this is what I want you to do. Now, I mean, that seems like an easy idea, but I wasn't smart enough to think of it. But if you invest in the kingdom of God, he has invested everything in you. Do you understand that? He has held nothing back. Everything. Jesus died for us. Flat out. Gave his life. The Bible says he wasn't even recognizable as a man. He was beaten so bad. Man. And he did that on purpose. And we're just like, Lord. So invest in that. Here's the X. This is what everybody wants the cookies, but nobody wants to make them. Well, Crunch might want to make them. But what we all want the stuff. We don't want what it takes to get the stuff. And I don't want you to feel guilty about that, because I think that's part of that is just like, hey, if I could get it without doing anything. But we all know that really nothing in life is free. Well, we would say to your kids, oh, yeah, there's free stuff, because we do a lot for our kids, don't we? Yeah, they get a lot of stuff for free. But, you know, as you get to adult, Maddie's back in Kidstown, and she's looking at me. I said, now, remember, so we don't pay for her cell phone. We don't pay for her car. We don't pay for her insurance. We don't pay for her gas, the stuff she wants. And she's like, I don't have enough, you know, I need more money. And we're like, welcome to adulthood. What you need is a budget. I don't like that word. But, you know, so we have to, this is going to take some extra effort. Might take extra cash. If you're investing financially, if you're investing with just your own self or finance, it might take extra time. Somebody needs a ride. Somebody needs a lift. Somebody needs help. Somebody needs prayer. God wants you to pray more. God wants you to get up earlier. God wants you to journal a few things. That's going to be extra than what you do. We're learning in our core meetings, just like the pastor is teaching it. He says he does one new habit every year. And now he's been doing it for 20-some years, so he's got to be doing 20 things every morning, you know, like... One of them, as stupid as it was, remember this, he just said, flossing. He hated it, didn't want to do it, but the Lord's telling him, you floss, so he flosses every day now, you know, good for him. That's great, but I mean, it might be something simple, but it's going to take extra. It's going to take focus and purpose to get it done. I mean, you know, we all have journeys. We're all on different things. I mean, Kim and I are, you know, we're different people, but we mesh because we're different. And I guess that's opposite attract thing, you know, or whatever. Where, you know, she knows I will protect her with my very life. I know she will let me. But I like that. I mean, I don't want to arm wrestle her and her win for me. I mean, I just don't want that. You know, but just the extra that it takes to do things excellent. Sometimes it takes extra. Sometimes you need somebody that will rub you the wrong way, but you know they're telling you the truth. Sometimes I'll done something. I'm like, hey, I did that. And she'll walk up and go, you did that? Yeah, it's done. It's not done. Done as far as I'm concerned. But she's like, no, it's not done. And inside I'm like, it's not done. And so, you know, if I wanted to be excellent, then I got to go and finish it. It's going to take some extra. If seeking the Lord, I was asking the Lord, Lord, I want to go to another level. I remember this has been years ago. I want to hear you clearer. I want to, and this is what I saw in my mind. I didn't hear an audible voice or anything. This is what I saw in my mind. Just an alarm clock. And it said 5:30. That's all it said. 5:30. And I would see it just like almost like a vision. 5:30. 5:30. And then I felt like the guy of, have you ever watched Evan Almighty? When he sees Genesis 6:19 or whatever, you know, I'm like, everywhere I'm going, I'm seeing 5:30, 5:30. I'm like, stop. What time do you need to meet? We're meeting at 5:30. Oh, sure we are. And, you know, finally it hit me that, oh, he's telling me to get up at 5:30. Be up by 5:30. And so for years now, I get up. I'm usually up between 5 and 5:30. 5:15, 5:10, 5, you know, very rarely it's ever after 5:30. But that's when I start my whole routine. And I'm up and I get it done. And I, you know, all those things on those on the list are to get started. I, you know, I'm in this, in my office for probably about an hour or so. And then I head out to the barn. That's where I go work out, go do that, you know, and just get my, get everything going. It's extra. But, you know, it gets to, part of it is, it's so much of a habit. If I don't do it, I feel like I just need to do something. I missed it, or I feel, have you ever went somewhere, like you go on vacation and you're used to going to church, and you don't go to church, you feel guilty? The enemy will play on that, and you know you are the church, but I get it, and you should go on vacation, and I'm not saying don't do it. Just don't let the enemy toy with you. We've had church where we've been in our cabin, we've just had church there. We've went to another church when we're on vacation. We've done that. And sometimes, it, you know, both of them can work, just depends on where you're at or what you feel to do. But you are the church. Here's the thing. If I have to go somewhere to be with God, I like it better because he's with me. Wherever I'm at, he's with me. I'm with him. And so I'm having church. But I have to have that mindset. So for me to have that mindset, I have to fix my mind on this. Fix my eyes on Jesus. I can look at a lot of different things, but if I'm not looking at number one, fixing my mind on Jesus, I'm not going to be everything that I think I could be because I have chosen to not seek him first. And there's a lot of things screaming at you. So the whole thing, you know, this one scripture, this is Hebrews 12:2, and the NIV just says fixing our eyes on him. That's why I put that. But the other ones all say looking unto, which is you're looking unto Jesus. So it's meaning the same thing, but I wanted to use the word fix. If I can tell you anything that would mean, if you take anything away from here, you know, I think the note thing would be good in the morning, and I would do maybe pick three things, 3 to 5. Just stuff that you want to, here's what I want to do. I want to, whatever. And you don't have to be successful at it right now. Obviously, I'm not under 200 pounds yet. When I competed, I was under 200 pounds. But even when I lost all that weight, I think I got to 213. And boy, could I kick myself for getting back up, you know. But you just, I'm going at it again. I'm just going to do it again. But here's the thing. If I fix my eyes on him, that's where my strategy comes from. That's where my plan comes from. So if I get my plan from the Lord and I follow it and I invest in it and it might make me go extra, I will win. Because God never loses. But it really comes down to what you fix your eyes on. Because what you see, what you think, so is he. Where you look, that's where you go. It's where you follow. My wife will tell me all the time, I'm a hunter, I love the outdoors, and I am always looking for deer in the field. And I'll see them. I'll see them before anybody will see them. Now, sometimes she does see them and go, "Did you see that deer?" And I'm like, "Where?" And she'll be like, "Honey." Because I'll say, "Hey, look at those deer." And when I'm doing that, the car's going like that. If I'm doing that, the car's going like that. And she's, hey. I'm like, I didn't even know I was doing that, but that's what I'm doing. Because what I fix my eyes on, that's where I go. We have to fix our eyes on Jesus. You want answers to your finances? Jesus. You want answers to your health? Jesus. You want answers to your relationships? Jesus. You know, here's the thing. I mean, you know, I feel like Scotty and me are back there, and he's like, "Man, this is discouraging." You know, and this is coming out of my mouth. I'm like, "Hey, be the pastor." You know, you're like, where? Because he's like, where is it? So we have to fix our eyes not on what we see here, because what we see here is temporal. And by the way, nobody can walk your walk. You're here, and that's the good thing, because God's going to honor that and bless you. You're going to get something out of this and take it with you, and God's going to help, and it's going to make your life better because you're going to fix your eyes on him. Focus on him. Invest in him. Extra, no problem. And, you know, now my body, so I don't even set an alarm. I haven't set an alarm for years. My body gets up and goes, Brett, it's 5:13.
Okay.
I mean, it's just like, whatever. I wake up every day before 5:30. I don't set an alarm. I just don't even have to. But I like that because it is part of who I am. It's just, I just get up. I read another book. I read one of Pastor's books. I read my Bible for devotions. I'm reading another book that I gave our core leaders to read. I'm about three quarters of the way through that. And I don't read, let me say this, and then if you have anything to add, we can go from there. I'm not in a race with anybody but me, okay? So you need to hear that. I mean, healthy competition is good. I'm okay with that. I've had workout partners throughout the years, and a couple of them have been great. We've cheered each other on and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I don't really need a partner to work out. I can motivate myself. But past that, there have been times, well, like when we used to run, Tom would motivate me because he would count on me to run with him because he'd call and say, hey, do you want to run tonight? Now, I only ran because I hated it, to be with him. He was the best man at my wedding, so I could spend time with Tom. And but if I had a contest, that's why I ran. It would help me look better for the contest, so okay, I'll do it for that. But he carried me, to be gut honest. I would out-sprint him at the end, and it wasn't to embarrass him. It was just because that part of me was like, it's almost over. I got to give everything I got to finish. But, you know, he would have already left me miles behind when I was sucking wind and holding my side. And he would stay there and just be nice, and then, you know, the end I'd win, and, you know, or whatever. And I had to come back, and I really didn't even realize it till we talked later, and I'm like, I wasn't doing that to hurt you. I mean, I realized just part of that inside is just like, oh, it's the last. Or if Kim was there, you know, gotta look good. If Kim's, no problem, baby. But, you know, you get past all that. But anyway, so that competition, you know, that's okay. But in a lot of things in life, you need to set your pace, but don't be so easy on yourself that you don't have to do anything. But make it challenging enough that keeps you accountable. You can have somebody to keep you accountable. So there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not against friendly competition. You might do really well. We got people in this church that are men that are great friends. And they, when we go, if we go bowling or golfing, I am not a golfer. Every once in a while I'll hit a good shot, but man, like Scott is multi-talented and Ron is multi. They can bowl, they can golf, they can play baseball. Jack's a good golfer. I can drive a cart pretty good. But I have a great time just being in fellowship with them. And actually, Tom's a lefty and he can golf. But it's just, that part is fun because it kind of drives each other, drives their friendship. It drives, and that is a good thing. But in your everyday, when it's just you and Jesus, you're going to have to drive yourself. Because the Holy Spirit will prompt you, but he won't make you. Do you understand that? He'll prompt you, but you have to make, because you have a free will and you have authority, you have to make the choice. I will do this. I'm going to tell you one story, and then PK, you can help me. I was at youth camp, and they were like, I was a speaker for about 12 years, I bet, at pastor's church and stuff like that. I mean, I just loved it. But so I was ministering and stuff and was praying for people. And we had a service. There was another young man there, and he was just real on fire young man, just loved the Lord and was excited. And there were, I don't know, a couple hundred students, okay? And they were in a big hall, like a cafeteria room, because it was camp. So it wasn't cushy chairs or anything. It was just like fold-up chairs and stuff. I was done, and I came up front. And as soon as I came up, the Lord said, have them all come up front and get side to side. And he said it again to me. And I said, well, I can just feel the Lord now when I'm saying that. And I said, okay. I said, listen, if you want prayer tonight, I need you to come up from where you are, push your chairs out of the way, and come up and go side to side. And we, like, let's just say, started that curtain, and it might have ended over by the door. Just like, if you can imagine this line. Not everybody came up, but at least that many. And he told me to get this young man. And he's like, I said, will you help me? He said, yeah. And I told these guys, these other students, I said, I need you to be behind them. So, Scott, this would be an usher's almost nightmare in a sense. And so he said, what are you going to do? I said, you just follow me and stay with me. He's like, what are you going to do? I said, we're going to pray for these people. He goes, oh, okay. And I said, well, we're not going to talk over them. We're going to lay hands on them, and we're going to do it really fast. And he goes, well, how fast? I said, just stay with me. And he was like, okay. And I said, well, the Lord told me to use. So anyway, so we get right there. And I said, his name was Matt. I said, okay, you ready? He said, ready. And these kids were all just lined up. And so it was just as fast as we could. Bam, bam, bam. I mean, I'm walking like this. And every one of these kids, they're just boom, 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 boom. They're falling everywhere. And he's like, what are we doing? And it was wonderful. And then I said, okay. The other kids then came up front, and I said, Matt, start on that end. I'll meet you in the middle. And people think, oh, it's got to be the trained veteran. God's looking for a yielded vessel that's just willing to believe. We met in the middle. There were students laying everywhere. And there was the glory of God in that room. And that camp, that service went on for like 4 hours, praying for people and people going out in the spirit, people getting delivered of demonic things, and just, it's incredible service. So why are you telling me that? Fixing your eyes. When Jesus said, line them up, I could have just said, everybody just raise your hand. If you want to be saved today, we're not going to embarrass you, make you come to the front. But that's not where he was at. You see, because if we fix our eyes on him, it's going to take. Now, here's the last thing. It's not your way. It's his way. He knows what needs to happen. He's just looking for somebody that will do it. And the enemy works the same way. He's just looking for somebody that will do it. The enemy doesn't, the only way he can do things, he takes form in other people. He doesn't have his own body per se. God is looking for people that will fix their eyes on him and then do what he says. Be willing. Well, God, I don't know if I want to do that. What would happen if you did? If you don't, nothing will happen. But what would happen if you did? I told somebody one time, I think of these things, but they were, they had arthritis pain in their hand. And they just said, it just hurts. I said, well, can I pray for it? Would you reach your hand out? And it makes me think of the story in the Bible where, you know, and they wouldn't do it. They were just like, no. I mean, I was a guest speaker. It was a, I don't know if I was in Lima or whatever. They said no, and I said, okay. And I went and prayed for some other people and came back. Didn't say anything, came back, and then they said, hey. And went like that. Prayed for their hand. God healed it just like that. If they wouldn't have done that, and I wouldn't have said, okay, how does that stuff happen? Fix your eyes on the Lord. Now, there's just a few of us in here tonight. But Jesus changed the world with 12 people. It's not about the number. It's about the heart. It's about the allegiance. You got anything you want to add?
Yeah, I was praying, like, oh, do you even want me to say anything at all? This sounds kind of tinny or high. Yeah, pitched. Can you hear that?
You're all right. If you hold it up there, they'll fix it.
Anyway, he just says be real, so I'll always be real. Really real. Okay, I'll be me. It's like, where do I start? We're walking through a season in our life. It's our journey. We're, you know, most of you know, our house is up for sale. Again. Again. Woo. Go, Jesus. And it's not my favorite. Do you hear that? It's really tinny. Anyway, it's not my favorite.
You don't have to tell me.
I know. But it's something that the Lord has told us to do, so you don't have to. Not that you're going. I don't understand. I'm just saying it's time for us to do this. He said it's time for it. You know, there's a time. We're doing it. That's not
so
my favorite.
So we're moving closer, just so you know.
Yeah, we're moving back to Marion. So it's funny to me that, well, we live in Mansfield, but do you know what the name of our road is? Don't say it. I'll say it. It's Marion Avenue Road. So I'm like, that's a clue. God moved it. It's just, anyway, you'll hear the full story sometime later. Anyway, it's been a different journey, and it's been, to me, not fun. And
it's not been fun to me either.
No, it's been like, woo, a not fun roller coaster. Anyway, it's just not been fun. And the other day when I got up, I sometimes go to pastor's office, well, our office, you know, to do my devotions. And the first thing that the Lord said to me was, what are you looking at? Like, you know what I'm looking at. And I knew when he asked me, it was like one of those rhetorical questions, you know, like just to bring it to my attention. What are you looking at? Well, I wasn't looking at him. And then for you to say, you know, fix your eyes, or looking unto Jesus. And because it's easy. Do you still hear that?
No.
I don't want it to be like, oh, I can't.
Just quit worrying about
the
mic. Just say what's on your heart.
Anyway, it's easy when you're going through the new door. And we had a word in our dream team meeting. The Lord had given it to me, the scripture about a great door of opportunity has been opened unto me, but there are many adversaries. And then we had another sweet lady that same day during our prayer time. She goes, the Lord gave me the scripture. There's been a great door of opportunity opened to me. There's many adversaries. So, hey, we're walking through this door, and there are many adversaries. And they all look different, and it's just circumstances or things. And then the enemy just comes and tries to pound you with thoughts like, what do you even think you're doing? You know, this is never going to happen. This is not going to, this is that. And oh, just all kinds of adversaries. But when Jesus said to me the other day, the Lord said, what are you looking at? I'm like, I'm not looking at you right now. I'm looking at the adversaries and the things, because we're walking through. Because we're, you know, people are looking at us. Mm. And by that, I mean, we're examples. You know what we have our kids, we have you guys, and we're walking through this thing. It's kind of like we're running a race, and people are watching us, and I don't like to be watched or looked at. So that's why I'm standing
up
here.
I said, it seems, you know, we live in a glass house. Everybody knows so much about us, and we don't know. But, you know, that's part of the badge.
But when he said that, I'm like, I'm sorry, Lord, I'm not looking at you. It's just, it's been easy easier to see the natural, whatever my five senses are telling me. This is crazy. What are you doing? And seriously, it's like we're kind of walking on the water. I can't even imagine when Peter got out of the boat and was actually walking on the water. But when he was looking at Jesus, he was doing it all the way. Then when he stopped looking at Jesus and he looked at all the waves and the things and...
adversaries.
You know what it feels like when your heart sinks? You know what I'm saying? Like when you're discouraged, right, Scott? And you feel like it's a gut punch. What are you looking at? And we live in a day and age, and when I was sitting there, I just know the Lord is saying to all of us, what are you looking at? Mm-hmm. If you feel a sinking feeling, or you're depressed, or no joy, or fear, you're not looking at Jesus. And listen, I'm not bashing you, because I know. He had to, what are you looking at? Like, eyes on me. We are living in a day and age. Not just are we... we're walking through natural things, mm-hmm. but the spiritual war is so fierce right now. It's fierce. And there are people who, and I don't even like to say this, the suicide rate has just gone out the roof. You know why? Because people can't handle it. Because they're not looking at Jesus. They don't even know him. But you know what? We are the ones who are supposed to go and tell people about Jesus. And if we just go, I give up. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm too discouraged. I got the wind knocked out of me. But you got to get the wind back into you. And you're the only one who can do it. And I am pointing my finger. I'm pointing at you. I'm pointing at me. Because we have to do it. We're grown. We're big kids now. We have Jesus. And he gave everything. And two, another thing, there are other things that, you know, I'm going through. And later I'll tell you about it. But he's like, I was thinking a thought. And he goes, I paid for that. And man, I have to keep meditating on that word. And I have to get away from social media. And yeah, I need to know what's going on in the world, but when it overtakes me and it punches me in the gut and it sucks the wind out of me and it makes me feel like hopeless, that's not the Lord. The enemy every day is depressed. He's hopeless. He has no hope for a future. He's going to burn in hell forever. And he is joyless. He is everything bad. Yet he wants you to be like him. He hates you because you've been made in the image of God. So when you feel that, and I'm just, again, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody, because when I'm doing, I have four coming back at my own self. But if we just want to, or just live like that, he didn't call us to do that. He didn't. And I'm not saying, and I'm not minimizing the things that you're going through, but I'm telling you, there is a power. He gave you everything. He gave us everything we would ever, ever need. The armor, his very own armor, the fruit of the Spirit, his love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, everything. But it's up to us as big kids now to go, am I going to walk in the flesh? And my emotions, and what I see tonight, what I see in my bank account, what I see or feel in my body, or am I gonna stand on the word of the Lord? And it's time, everybody. I'm just telling you, it's time. It's not gonna get better in the world, but you were made, and I felt like I was supposed to wear this shirt tonight. You need to live your life on purpose. Jesus put you in this time. God purposefully put you here at this time to make a difference. Don't back out now. Don't back up now. We can do this. We have the Spirit. And there are times that this is a time you have to pull yourself up by the bootstraps. And you may be like, I can't talk to anybody. I can't tell everybody what I'm going through. You can tell Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, when you tap into that and you tell the enemy, no, I am not walking through life, just trudging through life, because I'm telling you, Jesus died. He paid for that. He paid for that. So I refuse to, and I'm just telling you, I wouldn't be telling you something that I'm not doing my own self. I refuse to live my life discouraged. I refuse to live my life in defeat because Jesus paid for me. He came that I could have life and have it more abundantly. Mm-hmm. And here's a scripture that comes to my mind, and I fail to say it. In Ecclesiastes, it says, don't say about the old days. The old days were better. I get it. Like, why, you know, the good old days. Yeah, but you know what? There are better days. If we just, and I feel pretty aggressive right now, pointing, but I'm telling you that the Lord is telling you it's time to stand up. It's time to stand up. You have everything in you, just like a good coach would say, get up. You can do this. And I think of, it's not remember the Titans, but they're facing the Giants. Mm-hmm. Where they're a losing team, but you know what? It's what do you see? Who are you looking at? You know, yeah, you're going to have trouble because we live in this life, but Jesus paid for that. So we're not going to stay stuck. We're not going to just go, I don't think Jesus is a heavy sigher. I think the enemy is a heavy sigher. I do. I'm sorry. That sounds really bad, doesn't it? It's very not ladylike at all. But I'm saying, and this isn't, you know, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And sometimes you're going to have to dig deep in. It's in there. It's, you have his joy. So we're walking in it. We're not going to be like, where's everybody at? I know. I get it. But you know what? Here's the thing. Here's what you're going to do. Talk to your team. Where were you at? Come here. Who are you inviting? Are you inviting? Did you invite anybody? Did you invest in it? Is that too harsh?
No.
Okay. I'm just saying.
We're the ones that are the difference. It won't change unless we change.
That's exactly right. And so, can go to, you know, you can only ride on somebody else's coattails. And I'm not saying you're riding on our coattails.
Well, these are they're here, so.
That's what I'm saying. But I mean, even in our own lives, you know, there are people, there's a particular friend that I have. I haven't spent time with her for years, but man, she is like a joy. She's joy personified. And I'm like, oh my gosh, she makes me feel so good. Bah, you know, because that's her natural, I don't know. She spends time with God, but when all of everything is taken away and the cheese stands alone, why would I even say that? Like, the cheese stands alone. Farmer in the Dell, in case you like, what is she talking about? Cheese. I'm talking about when all of it's taken away. Who are you looking at? What are you looking at? Because you're all of us are going to come to the point where it's just the cheese is standing alone.
I think I like that you're saying it. It makes me eyes on me.
Yep.
I remember Mallory, when she was little, she broke a porcelain doll, stepped on it, cut her foot, and, you know, Brett, you know, and I came in and she's bleeding pretty good. And I, you know, I picked her up, I took her to the bathtub and we're running, you know, and it was, you know, I could tell, I looked at it and I turned back to Kim. I said, she's going to need stitches. And, you know, Mal was like this. And, you know, Kim was trying to stay calm, but it was harder for her. And I remember looking at Mal. I said, Mallory. And she was like starting to go. I said, Mallory, look at me. Look at daddy's eyes. Look at daddy's eyes. And she looked at me and I said, it's going to be okay. Do you hear me? Listen to my voice. It's going to be all right. I'm going to take care of this. It's going to get fixed tonight. It's going to be okay. And she calmed right down. Who are we fixing our eyes on? Who are we focusing on? Are we focusing on the problem? Or are we focusing on the answer? Are we investing in the answer or are we investing in the problem? Is it going to take extra work? Probably on either side. You might as well, if I'm going to work, I might as well make it worth my while. He already paid, actually, if we're honest, he already paid for it all. I just have to access it, not, you know, I have to tap into it. And that's going to take my focus, eyes on me. And that's how that works. I mean, I didn't create it. He created it. And he won't make you do it. You have to do it. You have to be, okay, I'm in the army now. Yes, Captain. That's what we do. And we just do it. And you sometimes you do it alone. You be the cheese. Sometimes it feels like you're Limburger cheese. And you stand alone. But if you just continue to do the right thing, and I'll leave you with this thought. Successful people in the kingdom, probably even in the world, but let's deal with the kingdom. I would say this more, are the people that do something consistently than the people that just do it every once in a while and they find it works. Oh, that's good, but they don't do it consistent. People that walk in what we're talking about, and that's what we want, is to eyes on me. I want to do it consistently. No matter if the waves get high, I still, eyes on me, eyes on me. Okay. And I mean, because things, everything temporal is subject to change. Everything on this earth is temporal, subject to change. Heavenly, he doesn't change his laws. It's just constant. So, you know, when the enemy comes at you with something and you know it's like she said, it brings you down or sucks your wind or you, oh, do that.
I'm not going to do it again.
Oh, I thought it was good.
Okay.
I liked it. But all that, if you take authority over it, is subject to change. It won't stay. It can't stay because it's subject to change. It has to bow to the kingdom of God. And all it's waiting on is you to take authority and stay with it. And sometimes that's a walk. Sometimes it's more than just the instant. It's no matter what, I'm walking. You know, how many steps did, the Bible doesn't say, how many steps did Peter take before he started looking? 5, 4, 10? It doesn't say. I mean, so those are the things that I think of. How long did he, eyes on me, eyes on me? I mean, what would that have been like? Just stuff like that just blows me away. Just think, Lord, that would have been so cool. Or think about when he's going into the room and they said, she's already died. And he says, she's not dead. She's just sleeping. And the Bible says they laughed at him. And he put them out. I would have loved to have seen that. That's great. Get out.
Because you're a putter-outer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would have loved to have seen. Jesus. That's really good. So, I'm so glad you could come with us. And then she walks out there. I mean, I would have loved to have seen their face. Eyes on me. What are you fixing your eyes on? If you want what you say you want and you believe God has told you, he's already paid for it, but it's going to cost your allegiance. I'm going to have to fix my eyes on him. I'm going to have to invest in what he says. And it's going to make me, faith without works is dead, so I'm going to have to put something with it. It's not my works, it's already done, but mixed with my faith and the word, it's all about the word of God. Not because I did it, it's because the word says if I do it, it works. So because the word says that, it works. And I just did what the word said. So we have to understand, it's a fine line there, but you got to understand the meaning. Because if you get into the other, it's self-righteous, and then we think we're in better standing because we're just, you know, that's us, and by what we do or did. Jesus already paid for all that. This is about what he's done and what he's made for you. I'm good. That's about it. I mean, he just gave me that today. So I was just like, okay, do I have to do the FIX thing? But anyway, I hope you got something out of that. I hope that you leave tonight and be like, I'm going to do that. Maybe some of you are like, 5:30, I'm getting up. I'm not telling you have to get up at 5:30. Look at Rob Schreck, he's like, ain't happening.
Kim Milgate gets up at 2:30.
Yeah. She's
no joke, no lie.
Don't call her at 8:30 because she's already in bed.
Yeah, Kim.
She's out for the night, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good. Let me pray with you. And if anybody needs special prayer, please come up, and I'll be more than honored to pray with you, believe with you. But let's pray. And Scott put something back there. Or he's got something. So, yeah, if you want to help us in the renovations, this is our first project. It's not our big phase yet, but we're just getting these things ready. So it's going to be all good. Father.